The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We're going to look today at a guy named Moses. Y'all know about Moses, right? Everybody kind of knows the story of Moses. And we want to look today at the life of Moses. And I want to ask the question, how many of y'all have ever known somebody who was like, you know, they were just a good person, or they you had this like confidence in them, and then something happens and you look at yourself and you say, how in the world could you do that? Y'all know what I mean by that? Like, any of your kids ever make a boneheaded decision? And you just look at me like, how in the world could you do that? Like, what are you thinking? What thought process went through your head? And there's this passage in scripture we're going to look at in just a second where we kind of get that sense from Moses. But before we get there, I want to kind of recapsule some of the accomplishments of Moses' life. So what were some high points from Moses' life that you guys know of? The Ten Commandments, all right, that's one of them. Ten Commandments, something else, a highlight from Moses' life.
Parting the Red Sea.
Parting the Red Sea, kind of a big deal. Israel wouldn't have been able to escape from Egypt. He escapes Pharaoh's death. Remember, his sister put him in the little basket and floated him down the river. That's a kind of a highlight. He was one of only like thousands of children who escaped Pharaoh's first attempt at his life. What was something else? He freed the Jews from Egypt.
Egyptian prince.
He was an Egyptian prince.
He killed a guy.
He killed a guy. He defended his own people and killed one of the Egyptians, risking his title, his position as a prince of Egypt. Something else.
He didn't get to see the promised land.
Never got to see the promised land. Man, you're reading ahead in your notes. But Moses has an outstanding life. Just to kind of... He talks to God in a burning bush. He was the hand that God used to create the ten plagues. Splits the Red Sea. Gets to see God's glory on Mount Sinai. He's the one who is recorded for calling down, or the Ten Commandments are given to him. He calls down manna from heaven. He gives the nation of Israel, a pillar of fire to follow at night. After all the complaining, after all the wondering, after all the disobedience on Israel's part, Moses was the one guy who still led them forward to the promised land. This guy lived a pretty amazing life, right? I mean, when you look at Moses, he's kind of got to be one of those top tier guys in the Hall of Faith. But what I also like about Moses is he's very genuine. Y'all remember what happened when God came to Moses in the burning bush and said, Moses, this is what you're going to do? What'd Moses say? I can't do that, God. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm not ready. I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. I'm not the person that you want to do this. Moses was a lot like you and I. He created some bonehead decisions. He made some bonehead mistakes. He killed somebody. He does some different things that aren't the most like genuine person in the world. He was a shepherd. He was kind of a lot like us also. And there's this passage in scripture, and this is going to be our text for the day. It's Numbers chapter 20. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. And I want to read this. And this is the Moses. This is when Moses doesn't get to enter the promised land. But I want to look at some things that happen in there so that hopefully you and I can learn from Moses' bonehead mistake and we won't make our own. Starting in verse 1. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived in the desert of Zin, and they stayed in Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If we had only died when our brothers fell before the Lord, why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly, and they entered the tent of the meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. And you will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him, and he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring out water of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out of it, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where he had proved holy among them. Such an amazing life, but then there's this cap, there's this end of it, the finality of it is verse 12. Moses, because you didn't trust me enough, you were doubtful. And that disobedience is going to keep you from entering the promised land. Kind of seems a little bit unfair, don't you think? I mean, like, you look at everything Moses did, and then there's this one moment of doubt. And that causes him not to be able to enter the promised land. Moses had so much, and he'd watched God do so many things. I wonder what caused him to disobey this time. You ever think about that? I mean, like, Moses followed a burning bush into a foreign land, went before Pharaoh, spoke to Pharaoh, demanded that he let these people go, called down plagues, did all these different things. What caused Moses in this moment to doubt? I think it's important for us to know, because I think that if you and I put ourselves in Moses' shoes, we can avoid doubting the doubtful disobedience that he does by looking at what goes on around him that caused him to possibly be in this situation. So we're going to look at some different things from this passage, that kind of the circumstances, the setting that Moses finds himself in. And I think if you and I put ourselves in those situations, you'll find that it's easy for us to become doubtfully disobedient too in those similar situations. The first thing, if you'll notice, is in verse 1, he was emotionally flustered and hurting. In verse number 1, it tells you that he has just lost and buried his sister. Y'all remember the back to the baby in the little Nile River, and Miriam, his sister, was the one who put him in that basket, who sent him down the river, who followed him all the way to Pharaoh's daughter. And then when he got to Pharaoh's daughter and she found him, Miriam was the one who said, "Hey, I'll go find an Israelite lady so that you can, you know, she can feed him and you can raise him." Miriam, his rock, who had been with him through all the plagues, through the leaving and leading the nation out of Israel, Miriam, who'd been by his side all along, passed away. Y'all ever experience tragedy, loss? Everybody has. Everybody does. Loss and tragedy is a part of life. As much as I wish it wasn't, and as much as I wish we were in Beulah Land where there are no sorrowful goodbyes. That's what I'm trying to say. I can't get that out. We're not there yet. And so on this side, we all experience loss. We all experience tragedy. Hurt affects everyone. And so the first thing I can tell you is this, is if you're hurting, if you're experiencing tragedy, if you're experiencing loss, be careful. Because that's a perfect situation for Satan to get in and test what you know to be true. That's what happened to Moses. When you look at the story, he's experiencing loss, he's experiencing tragedy, and because he's in this emotionally hurt and frustrated state, Satan comes in and tempts what he knows to be true. The second thing that I also think happens, and part of this comes from the fact that he was experiencing emotional and frustrational hurt, is he got distracted and started to focus on the wrong things. You look and he got distracted by the opposition in verse number 2. He got distracted by the quarrel. He got distracted by foolish talk and lies. The people are saying, "Listen, we would be better to be dead than in this situation." Now, I understand that there's depression is a real thing, and I'm not saying that, but really, this? I can't help but think that this just isn't the best train of thought to be listening to these people, to be getting advice from people who would rather be dead than here. The other thing that is interesting about that is they continue to blame him, and they say that it was him who brought them into the wilderness. Do y'all realize that at this point in time, if Israel never would have disobeyed God on Mount Sinai and built the golden calf, they never would have been wandering in the desert? It was their disobedience that made them wander in the wilderness. It wasn't Moses. Moses hadn't done anything at that point in time. He is actually the one who went and parlayed for them. That's a pirate term for those of y'all who don't know. He was the one who went and parlayed for them before God and said, God, listen, these are good people. Don't destroy them. Other nations will look at you differently if you destroy them now out here in the desert. God, you've got to let them enter the promised land. That's what you promised them to do. Moses was the one who fought for the people. But yet here the people are, and they're blaming him for their wandering in the wilderness. And it was actually their disobedience. They continue to go on and they talk about how this place is terrible compared to slavery in Egypt. Maybe y'all ever have that happen? You get into a situation in life and you're like, oh my goodness, this is the worst possible thing ever. But really, when you look at it, it's not that bad compared to other times in your life. Anybody remember like going, y'all may remember this, high school, you couldn't go out on Friday night because you got grounded. Anybody? Jim Tom, Sammy raised her hand. She said, you got grounded too? All right. Now, how many of you all ever remember saying this to your parents? This is so unfair. So unfair. This is not right. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. Being grounded on a Friday night and having to sit at home and have food brought to you in your room is the worst thing that could ever happen to you. But it's interesting how when we put ourselves in these situations and all of a sudden we start to believe these lies, we forget how bad things really could be. Israel's sitting here and they're screaming, Moses, you brought us out here in the desert. This is awful. We wish we were back in Egypt. What? That's where you want to be? See, they got distracted by foolish thinking. He got distracted by listening to people who were telling him the wrong things. The last thing is, they said, there's no grain, there's no figs, there's no pomegranates, there's no water. That's not true. God has already provided for them water. God's provided for them manna from heaven. God's provided quails for them to eat when they wanted meat. God has done nothing but provide for Israel this entire time. And yet look at what these guys are focused on. All the things they don't have. Moses let all the distractions change his focus, and he got his focus off of what it needed to be. When he got his focus off of what it needed to be, he did something that most guys do at some point in time. Because he wasn't focused, he didn't listen. Anybody ever been there? What did I just say? You said that I should not do the dishes because I need to go watch the football game, right? Y'all ever get distracted and not listen? All the time. My one daughter, Evie, bless her heart. Y'all pray for Evie. She's so sweet. But man, I'll look at her and I'll get her. Hey, Evie, I need you to look at me in the face. She looks at me in the face and she does this. Evie, you got to look at me in the face. And she does this. Evie, you need to go to bed now. Evie, what'd I say? I got lipstick. What, Evie? That's not even close to what I just said. And she gets distracted and she doesn't listen. That's what happened to Moses. And you go back, God clearly tells Moses, hey, listen, Moses, you go and you speak to that rock. Moses clearly goes and he takes the staff and he hits that rock. See, Moses let the distractions and all the different talk and all the different frustrations and all those different things get to him, and it caused him to lose his focus. And when he lost his focus, he didn't listen. Now you say, that's really not that big of a deal, is it? I mean, the guy did so many good things. Why is this such a big deal? He got distracted by frustration and falsehood. He didn't listen to He got distracted by frustration and falsehood and didn't listen because he thought he knew what God was going to do. Go back and look at that again in verse number 8. God tells Moses to speak to that rock. Y'all see that in your Bibles, in your notes? That rock? Why that rock? Why is that rock such a big deal? It's because if you go back and you read in Exodus, God had already used this rock. And in Exodus, God had Moses strike the rock with his staff, and water came out of it. See, God had already proven what he could do. Read verse 13. Verse 13 says this: "These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he had proved holy among them." God had already proven what he could do. He didn't need Moses to strike the rock. But man, isn't that just like you and I? Y'all know what I mean by that? Just because God did something once, one time, we think that every single time he's going to do the same thing the same way he did the time before. Really what that means is this. How many of you know what to expect? You come to church service. How many of you came to church service this morning knowing somewhat what to expect? John's going to get up. He's going to be a little goofy. He's going to be a little crazy. He's been on vacation, so he's going to be all wired up, and he's had 6 cups of coffee this morning. You kind of knew what to expect. Kelsey's going to sit here. Randy's going to sit here. Max and Patty are going to sit there. Everybody's going to have... I didn't know green was going to be a popular color today, but apparently green was the color of the day, right? You came to church and you kind of knew what to expect. And so we come into church and we expect that because this is what God's always done, this is what God's always going to do. You know what happened to Moses, church? Moses expected God to do the same thing he'd always done, the same way he'd always done it. And what God was screaming to Moses is, "Moses, I don't need to prove who I already have been. I want to prove who I'm going to be to them. So I don't want you to hit the rock, Moses. I want you to talk to the rock. I want Israel to see how powerful, how great, how amazing, how gracious, how wonderful I'm going to be, not who I have been." And it's interesting because, church, we find ourselves in that same situation, don't we? Man, we think we know exactly what God's going to do, and really what we know is we know what we're comfortable with God doing. Right? Moses was comfortable. If I got my stick in my hand, I know I can hit this rock, and I know water's going to come out of this rock, and I'm comfortable with that. God, you want me to speak to that rock? I don't know. These folks are pretty angry. Why don't I just go ahead and hit the rock just because I know what's going to happen if I hit the rock? And who are we relying on? Relying on ourselves. See, that's what Moses did. If we do the same thing the same way, we tend to trust ourselves just like Moses did. Church, be careful, because when we face similar situations as Moses, it's easy to follow his example of doubtful disobedience. So what's it mean? It means this. Scripture tells us to guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. It means that you and I have been given the example of Moses in Scripture, a guy who was a pillar. Man, this guy was strong in his faith. He was good at what he did. He led Israel through all kinds of different things. But he got disappointed. He got frustrated with hurt and disappointment. And it caused him to get distracted by falsehoods. It caused him to get distracted and lose focus. And it caused him to be disobedient. Because it's easier to rely on his own self than it was to trust in God. One of the greatest, probably, guys in the Old Testament, Moses ranks up there as one of the most phenomenal prophets ever. But a life of faithfulness missed one of its biggest blessings. Because he was looking at what God had done and what he was comfortable with God doing instead of what God wanted to do. I don't know. This morning, I just have a question for you. Anybody dealing frustration? in life, hurt in life. If you are, be careful. Because it's when you're hurting, when you're frustrated, that Satan wants to get in and he wants to cause you to doubt what you know. Anybody dealing with falsehoods? Whether it's people in your life or it's your own self, you're listening to all this talk. And really, when you look at the talk and you look at what it's saying to you, none of it is true. None of it is good. None of it lines up with what you know. But you're starting to believe it. Be careful. Because that's Satan using that foothold of falsehoods and frustration to get in your head and cause you to doubt what you know God can do in your life. The last question is this. Church, do y'all expect God to do anything different? When you came to church this morning, did you expect God to do anything different? Are you sitting in your same seat, same time, every Sunday morning, because it's what you're comfortable with versus where God wants to take you? Morningsport Baptist Church, that's my question for us as a church. Are we doing the same things we've always done because we can handle it? Are we doing VBS for a week because we can handle VBS for a week? We can handle VBS for 75 to 80 kids, but 200 kids? I don't think so. We're going to have to call Miss Ann in the kitchen and we're going to have to do something different because that's a big difference. That whole time with us relying on what we're comfortable with and what we know, are we missing where God wants to take us? See, God had already proved what he could do. This church has a long legacy. I love meeting people who know about this church because this church has a giant legacy of God proving what he could do. But I think we haven't scratched the surface yet on what God wants to do in this church in the future. And the only way it's going to happen is if we as a church decide, hey, listen, wherever you want us to go, God, we're going to listen, we're going to follow, and we're going to obey. This morning, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. Here's what I'd like to think hymn of invitations are. This is the time for you to do business with God. Some of you need to have a conversation with him and ask for forgiveness because you've let all kinds of frustration or falsehood get in your mind and change how you think and change how you view and cause you to forget what you know. If that's the case this morning, then my prayer for you is this, is during this time of invitation, you would just have a conversation with God. Say, I'm sorry for what I believed, what I allowed to affect my knowledge of you. Some of you this morning need to commit. Whether it's commit to joining this church, it's commit to baptism. We're going to have baptism in a couple weeks. Whatever it is, you need to commit and say, God, listen, I am on board with you. I don't know where you want to go in the future, but I'm willing to obey whatever you call me to do. This morning, I pray that during our hymn of invitation, you would be obedient to whatever God wants you to do. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this chance to look at the life of Moses. God, he was a guy just like us, really. Lord, he dealt with loss. He dealt with frustration. He dealt with falsehoods, with lies and distractions, just like all of us do. God, and because we have his story in Scripture, we find that he let it get the best of him. Father, my prayer for our church this morning, this congregation, is this. Lord, that we would not let those things, hurt, disappointment, falsehoods, and distractions, get in the way of what you want to do in our lives in the future. Father, I pray during this time we would be obedient to what you're calling us to do and that we would do business with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.